love that verse. It talks about the toils and snares that we have come through. We've come through some battles, haven't we? But you know what? It's grace that's brought us this far. It's grace that's going to take us home. Amen. Go ahead and let our musician be seated if she'd like to. The Wheeler family put in double time today. I appreciate that. Appreciate everybody being at your post of duty today. I know it was a struggle getting here, driving through the weather and the different things, but I believe the Lord will bless you for your sacrifices. I want to speak to you this morning on a little thought that I feel the Lord had laid on me. It's been on my heart for a while now. Let thy eyes be open. We want to read in the scripture from St. John chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. She'll have it on the multimedia for us. Get this thing adjusted here where we can work. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee the living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give thee shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him well, springing him up into everlasting life. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you again for this opportunity to be here. We ask you, Father, to help us to stay in the channel that you have given us this morning, Lord. Lord, be submissive to thy will and thy spirit. We love you. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Speak on, let thy eyes be open. There are different typologies for water topping people's tongues, and we use it a lot of quite frequently, washing by the water of the Word. And have you ever noticed that there's water, and then there's living water? Can you say amen? And there's the Word, and then there's the living Word. You can have water and be stagnated water. And you can have Word, and it's right, it's true, but is it alive? Can you say amen? We can have the message of the hour. We can have the quotes. We can have all these things. And there's truth. Do you believe it's truth? But is it alive to us? That's the thing it's got to be. It's got to be alive to us. Other word, it's just a letter. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of words, a bunch of books. I don't want something dead. I want something real. See, amen? The prophet speaks about broken cisterns. He says, Now Aaron, and this is out of the message, Believest Thou. It says, Now Aaron, as soon as his first manna fell, God told Aaron and Moses, Go out there and pick up several omers full of it and put it back in the holiest of holies, that when your children's children, all that come into the priesthood, would get a taste of the original manna, oh, what a privilege when a man become a priest. Now remember, outside the holiest of holies, that was the only one that kept, it wouldn't keep 24 hours. It got worms in it. That's what's the matter with the Pentecostal church today, amen. What's the matter? The experience you had a year ago has got wiggle tails in it. Get rid of the thing. Let's have one now. You know what the little termites or whatever it is that wiggles around in them broken cisterns, stagnated water. I know what I had yesterday. I know what I got today, hallelujah. I'm looking for more of it. Fill my soul every day. Yes, sir. You say amen. You can't get warm by a painted fire. You know, I can tell you testimonies of what I've seen God do. I've seen, you know, healing my daughter, healing my boy. I've seen God do things for me. I've seen Him led me to jobs to do and landscaping. But that don't help me today. And every part of this service and the song service goes right with what I'm going to preach today. You know, it's when the music stops. It's when everything fades away. And it's whenever it's just you and the trial that you're facing. That's whenever the real rubber meets the road. Say amen. It says, and we look at Israel as an example that what God was, He always has to remain the same. And there's only one thing God ever did honor, and that was His way that He provided for the people. And when we get out of that way, when God has dishonored, God made the people suffer for getting away from what he told them to do, no matter what it was. He even gave them a law, touch not, handle not, taste not, just not because of the evil of doing it, but the evil of disobeying what he said do. And there's always cannot be a law without a punishment for the law. Because if there's no punishment, then the law has not much use unless it's penalty, the law. You know, we got a speed zone over here that says whatever it says. I never looked at it. I guess I'll probably find out one day if I don't pay attention. But there's a speed sign there, and it tells you what the speed is. And that law, the reason it's there is because there's a law, and if you go past that speed, you're going to get a ticket, probably. Or at least a good warning anyhow, and a good scolding. See, man? There's the law, but there's a penalty for that law. Otherwise, why would there be a law? Right? And the word says that the law is a schoolmaster for us, to lead us, to show us to a maturity, to bring us to a perfect people. What we want to talk about here is how God honors it whenever we go his provided way. We want to go back in time. We want to think about the children of Israel, how that God would give them manna, fresh manna from heaven. And this manna, all they had to do was accept God's program, and God would meet their needs. You're talking about a people they didn't have to worry about shoes wearing out. They didn't have to worry about their food coming down. They didn't have to worry about all those things because it was actually cooked bread that come down from the sky. And the children of Israel could get this every day, and it was free to them, but there was a provided way. He says, you can't keep this until tomorrow. You wait until tomorrow, and I'll give you a fresh manna for tomorrow. And then you've got to hold on to that, because if you try to hold on to that manna, you're going to have worms in it the very next day. He's typing something for us. How that we have to have a message of our hour every day. We have to have a fresh anointing, a fresh experience from God every day. Because you know what? You can pray through and have a Holy Ghost prayer meeting 3 days ago. Guess what? If you don't pray since, you're going to find yourself in the same old muddy grubs. Am I telling the truth? Or is this just Brother Daniel? No, we have to fight this battle where we have to just simply accept God's provided way. I can remember I was sitting on my couch and I was going through the scriptures and I was reading these things about how that God would part the waters of the Red Sea. God would send the plagues upon the earth against Egypt and Pharaoh and all of his army. God would do all these great miracles for all these the children of Israel. Why? Because the children of Israel had a desire to serve the Lord. They said, God, if only we can get out of here, we'll praise you. If only we can get out of here, we'll worship you. And then when God had done all these great things, all these great wonderful works, he gives them fresh manna from heaven. He gives them, you know, the shoes that never wear out. He gives all these great things, and they complain all the time. They would bicker and complain, and the first little trial that would come up, they'd say, oh God, I wish we could go back to Egypt. I want to go back for garlic. I want to go back for the clothes because I'm going through a trial. Say amen. I remember I was sitting on the couch and I was studying these things. I was thinking to myself, God, look at these children of Israel. You do all these wonderful things for them. And the first little trial that comes up, they say, oh God, what am I going to do? The Lord says, what about you? I said, you're right, Lord. How many times has God delivered us from the mouth of the lion? How many times has God delivered us of all these things? But every time we have a little bitty trial that comes up, we are ready to, oh Lord, what am I going to do? At least that's the way I do. It says, now we notice again how he made himself known to them after he got into them. How did he do it? He opened their eyes who he was. When he got into them, he opened their eyes to see. Now when the word comes into you, you accept God's word and it comes into you, then the promise of that promise that you've accepted, it manifests itself. And then you know who it is by what he did, he did do. How did he make himself known to them? Because he did the same thing he did before his crucifixion. Then they know that he was with him. Because he raised from the dead, all the preaching, all the teaching, everything else he had done had failed. But when he revealed himself doing the same thing he did before his crucifixion, then they knew who it was. His eyes was open. Talk about the disciples. And the disciples had seen Jesus after the crucifixion. And, as the disciples would come up and see him, how did they recognize him? It's because he did the same things he always did. What I want to show you is, at this time is when the children of the disciples were on the boat, and they were giving a little testimony service. And they were testifying about what God had done. And there was all these great revivals of seeing what Jesus had done. And if you don't notice, the revivals have died. Not with the message, but around us. The revival has died. I have people tell me all the time, there's a great revival coming over here. It's so good. The service was so good, we didn't even preach. Services were so well, we didn't even open our Bibles up, because they don't even know what a revival is anymore. Revival is so good, they don't even read the Bibles anymore. Friend, the revival is gone in the world. But the revival's here. Can you say amen? Talking about how the children of Israel were sitting on the boat and they were talking. And I imagine one of the disciples, he said, you know what, I'll tell you whenever, because Jesus was asleep in the boat. They said, I'll tell you whenever I knew it was him. It's whenever I seen him divide the fish and the bread. Every time he put his hand inside that basket, he'd pull out another bread. Fully cooked bread. And he'd stick his hand back in there and he'd pull out another piece of bread. Fully cooked bread. A fully cooked fish. See, what they were doing, they could look in time and say, God did this before. God brought bread from heaven fully cooked. There's only one person this could be that can divide bread. There's only one person there could be that can multiply fish, and that's God. I can imagine one of them said, you know what, I remember in the Old Testament reading the scriptures and doing the Bible studies, I read about how that Abraham and Sarah sat there, and there was Sarah was behind him in the tent, behind Melchizedek. He says, your wife Sarah will have a child. And why did she laugh? He discerned her heart from behind him. He says, I remember that, reading that in the scriptures. He says, you remember this, brothers? Remember whenever he talked to the woman at the well? He says, go get your husband. And she says, well, wait a minute. This guy's made a mistake. I've seen him do miracle after miracle after miracle. Now he just told this woman, go get your husband. He made a mistake. She don't have a husband. I remember the feeling I felt when he said that. He said, go get your husband. And I thought within myself, he don't have a husband. She don't have a husband. He missed it. She said, I don't have a husband. He says, you're right. You've had five, and the one you have now is not your husband. He said, right then I knew this is the Messiah. Because that was discernment. The same way God discerned the heart way back then, discerned Sarah's heart, he discerned that woman's heart. This is the Messiah. I want you to think about that. When he was talking to the woman at the well, he was talking to her intellects. He was talking to his feminine. But he was talking to something much deeper than that. He was talking to a seed on the inside of her. He was reaching out and touching the seed. And though her mind doesn't understand what's happening right now, a lot of times we miss what God's doing. You know that? A lot of times we miss it. The children of Israel, they missed it that time that they were complaining. If they could have zoomed back and looked at their self back there, they'd say, you know what? We ain't nothing but a bunch of whining complainers. But because they're in the midst of the heat of the battle, they don't see that. And that's what I'm preaching this morning. God, open our eyes. Let us open our eyes that we can see what we're doing right now. Because a lot of times we don't figure it out until we're way down the road and we realize I made a big mistake. He said, you know, whenever he was talking to the woman at the well, he was speaking to a seed on the inside of her. Something deeper than this flesh. Something deeper than his thinking. Something deeper on the inside that made her who she was. And you know, that's the thing we got to preach on this morning, is who we really are. And that's that seed. That's the seed we've got to reach to. That's the one we got to go to, because you know what? This guy will fail you every time. This guy will complain. This guy will lust. This guy will fuss. This guy will stink. This guy. But you got a seed on the inside of us that I want to see alive in you, amen? I want to see that quicken on the inside by the Word, where that Word can quicken this and make it alive again. See, what the devil's working really hard. I see it. I'm telling you. I watch it. I've seen it. And I've seen it just
stronger and stronger, building up what the devil's working really hard right now. You know how what they did with the brass serpent? The reason they put the brass serpent up there is because people began to complain, bicker, and fight. Fiery serpents come upon them. God gave them the brazen serpent to put up for healing. And they could look at that and be healed and all these great, wonderful things. But you know what? They made it an idol. Began to idolize the very thing God gave them for deliverance from what their problem that they had. They turned that thing into an idol. Do you agree with that? See, and God gave us a message of the hour today, but many times I'm afraid people use it, the message of the hour, more of an idol than for what it's called for. What do you mean, Brother Daniel? They have the words, but they don't have life. They've got the clothes, but they don't have life. You say amen? I remember that's what quickened me to this message was whenever I seen it, whenever the prophet of God would have the word, and he went to Africa and preached the word and didn't even talk about women being naked. If the very presence of God made the women start covering up, because it was a holy manifestation of God among the people. And I remember when I seen that, it pricked my heart. I said, that's it. It's a word that can really quicken and make it alive again. It's whenever he could take the word of God and it would make a life truly transform of a born-again Christian. Where a Christian is born, I'm talking about dying on the inside, where he truly died to the old man and you truly get filled with the Holy Ghost. Something we don't see anymore today. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about the world, friends. The message of Yahweh, the greatest thing we could ever have in the message of Yahweh is have our life truly changed from the inside out and being filled with the Holy Ghost. I've gone to camp meetings, and I don't say it to be critical toward the brothers at all or sisters at all. I don't mean it that way at all. I'm just trying to let our eyes be opened. I would talk to them, and they could quote the message just like that, quoting the message. It's spot on. And then right after that, talk about the filthiest thing in the world. Out of the same mouth that was just talking, quoting the scriptures. You say amen? They would quote the word and do all these great things, sing, and then look at their life, and their life doesn't match the word. Our life has got to be our greatest voice. The life that we live, when the music stops, when everything else stops, when it's us, the true identity. Manifest in the world. You know, that's why we go through things we go through, is trials and tests. Because, you know what? Let me think about you. Job was a righteous man. But if you ask Job, do you feel like you're a righteous man? You know what he'd say? I feel like I'm like the skin on the bottom of the feet. He said, if you was to know the mistakes I make, if you was to know the things I've done, oh, I'm horrible. And he'd do these burnt sacrifices for his children, these burnt offerings for his children. Every day, faithfully. He was a righteous man. Remember, Satan come down, and he said he was seeing who he can tempt, and the Lord told him, he said, have you tried my servant Job? He said, I would, but you've got a hedge about him. God never denied that. God said, I don't have a hedge about him. What are you talking about? God said, yeah, that's right. I do have a hedge about him. But I'm going to allow you. I want you to understand that. God tells him, I am going to allow you to afflict my servant Job. In other words, Satan can't do one single thing unless God allows it. God can't tempt you. God can't hurt you. God can't hurt the devil. The devil can't hurt you. He can't do none of these things unless God allows it. And the reason God is allowing the trial, the test to come upon you, because God has got a plan. He says, you go ahead and try my servant Job. Go ahead. But don't you take his life. This was a man that was a righteous man. He was trying to do everything he could to do right. And every time he tried to do right, he seemed like he'd be making mistakes. But you ever feel that way? You feel like you're doing your absolute best to serve the Lord. You feel like you're doing everything. That I would do, I don't do. That I wouldn't do, that I do. I never can quote that scripture exactly the way it is, but I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. And they got Proverbs, they got all kinds of things that maybe you can't quote. That's probably the hardest thing to quote in the whole Bible. But Paul's saying, he said, that I wouldn't do, I find myself doing that. That I wouldn't do, or I would do, I don't do that. I'm doing this. Paul, we're talking about the messenger to the age. He's saying the things I would never do, I'm finding myself doing. The things I would do, I'm saying, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. And then you never find yourself doing it because you're trying to do it. And what is it? He's got a flesh. He's got a bondage of this old guy right here that's fighting us. And every time you try to take a step towards the Lord, you've got something fighting you. Amen. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a revival. He said, we have just witnessed one of the greatest revivals I believe the world has ever seen. In the last 10, 15 years, it's been a revival. But now it's like the days of Billy Sunday, the days of the Welsh revival, the days of the Wesleyan revival, or the Moody revival, or the Bill Sunday revival. It's been a worldwide sweeping affair around the world. Great healing services, great revival fires has burned on practically every hill there is in the world. Right tonight, over in the lands of Africa, down in China and Japan, this gospel is being preached. People are being healed right this very minute around the world. It's been one of the greatest revivals because I believe it's one of the last revivals the world will ever see. A world sweeping revival. But now it's the last few years, it's quieting down. You don't notice the enthusiasm in the people that used to be. I remember one night in Vandalia, Illinois. I want you to listen to this. I walked into the meeting, and I had no more been in the meeting over 5 minutes. And there wasn't a feeble person around the place anywhere. Wheelchairs pushed out and piled up. Blind was seeing, deaf and dumb speaking. And just simply the Spirit of the Lord was present. And He just healed the whole group of them. Now that's when you can do something, when revival is going. But yet the revival fire died down, and you can't hardly, the people are still Christians, but they're not revived into that spirit, the great atmosphere in doing something. It's just like in a forge, a blacksmith shop. You got to get the iron hot before you can go to pounding on it on the anvil. If you don't, you'll heat the Holy Spirit. If you don't, you'll never straighten it out. And that's what it takes to have a revival, is everybody under the heat of the Holy Spirit that's brought down the powers of God and reviving and moving. And then there is prayer and he's going day and night, every minute, everywhere. Who wants a revival? From the prophet, he's talking about a revival in such a way that he would be there 5 minutes and people were healed out of their wheelchairs. 5 minutes, deaf were seeing. 5 minutes, the blind could see. But see, a lot of people say, well, that was because Brother Brennan was here. I don't believe that. Because the same God that was with Brother Brennan is still here today. You see, amen? See, we are living under our privileges where we can have revival. The world don't can't have revival because they have rejected the word, but I didn't reject it. Did you reject it? I have received the word. And I want the revival. Now, how do I get the revival? He says prayer. Praying day and night. People seeking God, people doing these wonderful things. And I read a quote a while ago. He says, God will honor one thing. What's that? When you go according to His program. Brother Branham goes on later on in the quote. He says, whenever you don't go God's provided way, God will allow you to be hurt. God will allow things to happen. God will allow these things. Why? Because then you'll repent and say, oh, God, forgive me. Help me get back to the Word. God, help me get back to the cross. God, help me get through things. Sometimes we go through trials. Sometimes it's because God wants to tempt you to show the devil what you're made of. But sometimes it's God allowing us to get a whipping. So we'll say, God, forgive me. Help me get back to the cross. God, forgive me. Help me get back to the Word. Because this guy right here is our worst enemy. This guy will take you so far away from revival. This guy right here wants to take you to where, you, rather than praying, you want to just relax. Rather than praying and seeking God, you'll want to just listen to music. Rather than getting in the Word, you'll want to substitute listening to the Word to listen to a song. Not a bad song, a good song. Devil don't care if you don't necessarily have to have us out in the world. He just wants to get us away from the Word. Get us away from seeking the Word. Because I'm telling you what, when you're fortified behind the Word, the devil can't touch you. I want you to notice something. When you go through a trial, when you're facing something, what's the devil thing the devil hits you the most? He'll hit your mind so hard you're scared to death. He'll hit your mind so hard you're stressing, you're worrying, and it's like the devil just puts blinders over you, and you can't see nothing. You're just listening, and you're listening.
I heard a story one time, and I believe I've told it here, but I'll tell it again, just for the sake. There was an Indian. He was raising his son up. And his son was going to have to go through all these tests before he would be considered a warrior or a great man. And he would have to hike several miles and do that for a certain amount of time. And he'd have to climb certain hills. And he'd have to do all these great things. And he passed all these tests. And he'd have to walk across the coals with his bare feet and all these. And he'd be passing all these tests. But his final test, he had to put a blindfold around his face, around his eyes. And his father let him out in the middle of the woods. And he had to sit there all night long. And that boy would sit there and he couldn't see nothing, but all he could do was hear. And he'd hear a tiger coming around this way, or he'd hear a bear over this way. And he'd hear. And if you ever sat in the middle of the woods with your eyes closed, especially as a young man, you can get pretty scared pretty quick. We had the boys here a while back. We took them snot hunting. And I don't think they'll ever forgive me for it. Because every time we go hunting, they'll remind me of it. But when you're out in the woods and you're all by yourself, it can get scary. You hear the trees creaking. You hear the weed blowing. I remember one night, me and my brothers, we were camping out in the tent. We stayed a whole summer out. We just stayed away from home. We stayed out there and we was camping one night and we were laying in bed in the middle of the night and we heard a and all around, and we just knew it was a big old mountain lion or something outside the tent. We're laying there and we're like, oh my, and you see the shadows. And you can make shadows look just about anything you want to. And that was the biggest mountain lion you ever seen in your life. And we're sitting here and we heard that, and he was just getting around, and we said, all right, we're gonna make a mad dash. Remember my older brother, he says, I'm the oldest. So it's my responsibility. You guys go first. I'll go last. That way he'll have to get me first. And then y'all keep running. And Daniel, you have to take the next one. And David, you've got to go home. You're the youngest. I remember we were laying there. We heard all this noise and everything. We opened that tent, took off running as fast as we could. And I heard my brother screaming, my oldest brother. Ah! And I turned around. He said, you ain't going to believe this. It's a horse. All right, guys, we're going to make a pact. Nobody knows about this. But that goes to show you how your mind can play games on you. And in the dark, you get scared and you're worried. But this Indian, this young man, this young warrior, was sitting in there on the log. You can imagine the things he heard coming around him all the time, panicking, scared, all kinds of things scaring him the whole time. And the whole night, it was a struggle for him because he knew, if I don't pass this test, I'm not going to be a warrior. I've got to stay strong. And in the midst of the morning, he can start to feel the sun rays starting to come up across his face. He's real worried. He's afraid. He feels the sun coming up, and he goes to pull the blindfold down, and he looks over, and he sees his father standing there with his spear right beside his son. And if any lion, anything tried to come close to him, that his father would have killed him on the spot. And I'm telling you what, that's exactly the way God is with us. With the trials that we go through, sometimes it's scary, we're worried, there's fears of health problems, of finance problems, of life. How am I going to do this? My life has gotten this far already. How am I going to get the accomplishments I want in my life? Fill your own blank. You know what your struggles are. How am I going to do all these things? You panic. But God's sitting there right the whole time with the spear in his hand. And he's ready. He's watching over us. He's got our back. He's saying, hey, man, there's nothing more comforting than having someone got your back when you know they've got your back. Me and my brothers, we had each other's back. We didn't have to worry about that. Now, we could turn on one another, and it'd just be a crazy little outfit out there. But you dare one of them touch one of the black brothers, it was on. I'm telling you what's the way God is, too. Sometimes we may have bickering and fightings, husband and wife, mother and son or daughter, father and so forth. We may have bickerings and fighting sometimes because we're human. We're flesh. But dare that devil come in our territory and try to touch one of our own. Because we've got the whole pack on him then, amen? And I believe that we need to be so closely knit with
with one another. Let our eyes be opened. Let our eyes be open and see our brothers and sisters, and we've got each other's back. We watch over each other. We protect each other.
If you was to know that, thank the Lord I don't have a toothache. I praise God for that. But if I had a toothache,
I would want you all on your knees seeking God, for I'd have healing in my toothache. Thank you, Lord, I don't have a toothache. Remember, can you say amen? If we find out one of us has got a problem, we should all bind together and fight that devil. I'm telling you what, you can take the scriptures and the word and you can find out, why am I not getting my answer prayer? Why am I not getting? We can actually hold God's feet to the fire.
I was with my sales manager yesterday or the other day working a deal. I wanted it done. I knew I had the ingredients to get a good car deal. Everything was the way it's supposed to be if he would do what he was supposed to do. And he said, I'll work on it when I get a chance. His office was right on the end. And we're supposed to stay around the front. And I knew it was going to be a car deal. I knew it was. I gave him everything that I needed to get my car deal. He said, I'll get to it when I get a chance. And I just walked over and I just sat right there. And his face was about right there. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm holding your feet to the fire. Because I've got all of the ingredients for my car deal. I want my car deal. I just leaned straight forward. And he said, Daniel, I'll get to it when I get a chance. I said, okay.
He said, okay, I'm going to put this to the side because I'm going to get this car deal and get it out of the way. We all got my car deal. But you know what? We can do the same thing with God. We got the ingredients for what we got. We have the ingredients to get what we have need of. We need to get right next to God. Just look him eyeball to eyeball. Just look at him. Say, God, I want my prayer request. You said I can have it. The word says, by your stripes, I'm healed. It's already paid for. I've searched my heart. There's no sin in my life. God, I'm searching it. I am taking the word. I'm applying the word now. I'm holding your feet to the fire. I want my request. I want my healing. You hope God wants us to take him at his word. He wants us to take him at his word and say, God, your word said it. I can have it. I want my request. Give it to me. That's not being disrespectful. That's knowing your position. When you know your position, what we need is a manager. Managers got to be able to make decisions. That's why most managers fail, because they can't make decisions. They're supposed to make a decision. They're too afraid. If you don't make a decision, you made a decision. We sons and daughters of God, when we stand in our position as a son or daughter of God, the prophet said, when we know who we are, we recognize, we know what the word, we have the word, we know what to do with it. He says, we are an invincible army. Accept this. Did he ever say that? I'm an invincible army, except when this comes. No, he didn't say that. We are an invincible army. I want my request. You got a financial problem, I'm telling you, you can get on your knees and sit in God. You can hold the word in front of you and you say, God, I've searched my heart. I'm faithful with my tithes. I'm faithful with my offerings. I want my request. Give me my request. God will give you your request. Am I just talking or am I telling you the truth? I've seen God do it too many times. I've seen God do it too many times. My back here, well, back. I'll tell you it again. I know I've told you before. I'll tell you it again. It's a refresher. Because I think we should talk about what God done in our life. My back, whenever I hurt it, and I had my surgery, they said, you have herniated your back again. My back was, it was messed up completely. It was, and I was going to have this, the surgery, or I was going to have to do the screws. I remember I was on my bed. I was laying on the bed in our bedroom. And I'm telling you what, it hurt so bad, just literally just sweat just pouring out of me. I remember I was laying on the bed, I just had tears just coming out of my eyes. I could take pain pretty good, but I'll tell you what, I was crying. It hurt. I was laying there and I hurt so bad, and I remember I was seeking anything I could grasp onto to hold on to, because I know I do not want to spend the rest of my life like that. I was reaching for anything, and I went to the unanswered prayers. And I said, wait a minute, God says I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm claiming it right now. I'm holding on to that. And I start claiming, I am healed. And I started to sing with an audible voice, I am healed. And I kept laying there, and I'm telling you what, it hurt so bad, it felt like someone just sticking a dagger in my back. And I kept saying, I'm healed. I'm healed. And my wife came back there, and she said, I'm going to get you to the doctor and take you there. I said, no, I'm not going to the doctor. I'm healed. And I was down. By the time she pulled me up off the bed, I was up like this, and I couldn't even straighten my back up. I was hurting so bad. Sweat on the floor. It hurt so bad. I just kept saying, I'm healed. I'm healed. And I kept holding on to anything I could grasp. anything I could grab of trying to grab faith. I kept saying, I'm healed. And all of a sudden, I felt something. I said, I'm healed. Praise God. She said, I'm taking you to the doctor. I said, no, get my walking shoes. My wife went and got my walking shoes. And I started walking. I'm telling you what, every step, I said, I'm healed. Every step I took, I'd praise God. I'm healed. Sometimes you just got to drag this old guy by the hair of the head and make him walk. Say amen. You got to make yourself say, oh, flesh man, you're going to serve me today. I'm not serving you. I'm the head. You're going to be the tail. And start walking. Tell you what, you take that towards your request you've got. If it's your children, I don't care what it is. I don't care what the need is. If you've got the ingredients, if you have sought God and your heart's pure before God, the price is paid. Is it, I'm going to ask you, is the price paid? It's paid. Is your heart pure? Search yourself. You don't tell me. That's between you and God. Is your heart pure? Yes. Have I paid my tithes? Yes. Am I faithful in my offerings? Yes. What hinders me from having my request? Devil, I'm coming after you. And you start walking by faith right then. And I'll guarantee you, this guy right here will doubt you. But it's where the scripture says it's by your confession. You're speaking the word. There was a man that was blind and got prayed for by the prophet. And the Lord said, the prophet told him, you're healed. The man walked away and he couldn't see. He came back to the prayer line. He said, Brother Brown, you said I was healed. He said, you said you believe me. So I do. Well, go testify. That man didn't feel no more healed than anything. He didn't feel healed. He didn't look healed. But I'm telling you what, he started speaking. I'm healed. Everywhere. He'd do it to the point where people made fun of him. One day he was sitting in the barber shop, had the shaving cream all over his face. He was sitting there and they were going to make fun of him. They said, hey, how about them sight? Praise God, I'm healed. All of a sudden his eyes were open. In the middle of a mockery, in the middle of the test, in the middle of all the fuss, he kept his testimony, his profession. He professed, I am healed. You don't matter what you're going through, you confess it, you speak it. God paid the price. Let your eyes be opened. Say, God, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you the way you are. Because I'm telling you what, when I was little, there wasn't nobody stronger than my dad. Nobody. If it was arm wrestling, not a chance. My dad could walk up there, and it don't matter who they were. In my eyes, he was the man. If it was the biggest bully in school, my dad's bigger. And as long as I kept my eyes on my dad, there wasn't nobody else stronger. But you know what happens when you get your eyes off dad and you're looking at the problem? That's whenever this becomes bigger. We have to keep our eyes off of this and on this. Brother Brown talked about the boys riding the little bicycles. He said they were doing this marathon. All these boys had these fancy bicycles, nice gears on them and everything. But most bikes have them now. Back then they didn't. They had these nice bicycles. They were going to ride this race. And little Johnny come through there in this old piece of junk bicycle you ever seen. He come through there and the wheel would just wobble when he got on it. And everyone kind of made fun of little Johnny. And they said, Johnny, what have you even been in this race for? You don't even stand a chance. He said, I got to try. He put his old hat on there, the big old long bill that they had. I used to have one of those hats. Had a long bill. Brother Richard, you ever had one of those? He had that long hat on he put on there, and they started running this race. And they just left him behind, smoke and everything, but mud all over his face. And they just kept zooming right on him. Little old Johnny, he just kept it trucking. Old back wheel just a creaking. And as they got closer to that finish line, they just kept zooming right on past him. He didn't stand a chance. The very end of the race, they had to go across a long 2x4 across a creek. And every one of them, one by one, get halfway across. They were all falling down. And here comes little old Johnny. Right across the 2x4. Hey, guys. Right on into the finish line. I said, Johnny, how in the world did you do it? How did you beat us with that piece of junk bicycle? He said, I kept my eyes on the finish line. And that's what we got to do. We got to keep our eyes on that finish line. We say, you know what? I'm looking at God. My God, I'm not looking at the storm. I'm looking at God. And it don't matter what I'm going through, my God is greater than my storm. Amen. Say amen. I don't know about you, but I got trials.
Some days it's so crazy that at work, by God's grace, the Lord has put me in a position where I sell a lot of cars. But when you get a lot of cars sold, you have a lot of responsibilities. And people calling all at the same time and wanting you to know, want to know about this, want to know about that. And it comes to a point, literally, sometimes I'm just like, you know, in yourself, because you're just, your mind is so bombarded. It's life. But that's what, it's the devil's job, is to so bombard us to where we're just trying to get through a day. We're just trying to struggle through. See, God has called us where we can cross peace to the storm. I'm going to give you a testimony. This is something that I'm telling you, this happened for me this week. It was actually last week. I had so many trials coming through of all these different things I couldn't control. Things I could not control. Like this woman ordered her seat wrong. She didn't lock it. And once it came in, this one, she wanted this. And all kinds of things, but I couldn't do nothing about it. My hands were tied. And I'm telling you what, it comes to a point, I literally sat there and I thought, I'm going to have a heart attack. My chest was just, I was just sweating. And I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? So stressed out in my mind. I've got all these responsibilities I got to take care of. I'm telling you what, I finally said, you know what? Why haven't I prayed? Why haven't I just took this before God? Why do I always do this? I always find myself. Anybody else find yourself that way? Why do I find myself doing this? I should have prayed right off the bat. And I went over to my car. It was hot. Turned the air conditioner on. Put my hands on the old faithful steering wheel. I probably prayed there 100 times. Just grabbed that steering wheel and just leaned back and just let it roll. I started just pouring my heart out before God. I said, God, I am so stressed. I've got this problem. I've got this problem. I've got this. I've got that, God. All these things, God. I need your help, God. I just began to let go and let God. Began to just pour out to God and stay there. And I don't care if I had to stay here tonight. I'm not leaving until I feel my heart come to a peace. I said, God, I ask you to help me, God. Help me get through these things. Because, you know, I believe God allowed those things to happen to get me to where I would seek him. Because sometimes we don't seek him like we should. And God has no choice but to allow things happen. And I tell you what, I began to seek the Lord, had my hand. I said, God, I need your help. I want to pour my heart out to you. God, you know the situation about that. You know the situation about this. And I just went right down the list. And I just began to pour my heart out to him. See, that's what we got to do. We just got to let it out and let God remember he's our friend. He's not someone wanting to bash us on top of the head. He's our friend. He's one that loves us. He's one that cares about us. And I had to remember him that, because the devil wants to paint a picture of him as someone that is a hard God, a mean God. I kept pouring my heart out to the Lord. I said, God, I want to commit it all to you right now in Jesus' name. I'm telling you what, I said, I committed right then. I said, I'm going to confess. God is going to take care of these situations. I'm committing them to God. I've spoken. I've sought God. I'm committed to him. And I get through there, and lady I've been having trouble getting a hold of and doing this, she calls me back. She said, Daniel, I just want to apologize to you the way things have been going. She said, because she's been kind of hateful. She said, I apologize. She said, that's exactly the way I want. That's the way I want. Thank you. I appreciate that. A little bit later, another phone call. Another customer I've been stressing about. Hey, I just want to let you know, Daniel, don't even worry about that. I appreciate that. And on top of that, I'm giving you a good review. I appreciate that. One by one, my giants begin to fall at my feet. One by one. And it looked like, I'm telling you what, 30 minutes ago, I felt like I was going to die because it felt so much stress. You see, what I'm saying is the devil can't do nothing unless God lets you, lets him do it. He can't do anything. Whenever Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate said, don't you know I have the authority to give you life or take it away? Jesus didn't stutter one bit. He said, you have no authority unless it was given to you by my Father. Pilate, you know, you may think you're a general. You may think you're this. You can't do nothing unless my God allows it. We can say the same thing. Devil, you have no authority to do anything unless my God allows it. So what can we do? We can say, God, what do I need to do in this? Open my eyes this morning. Open my eyes. Let me see what I need to do, because I want to be a faithful general. I want to be a faithful soldier. I want to be faithful to my post of duty where I can stand my ground, because I want the testimonies. I want my life to speak of Christ. But you know what? The devil's greatest job he can do is beat us down so much to where we don't smile anymore, we're beat down, take your joy away, take your happiness away, take all these things. My wife, as much as she may, well, I know she won't, but you know, the devil would try to do it.
would make her feel like she's not my wife. Too late. She's already mine. And that devil, a lot of times, will make us think he's going to take our bridesmaid away from us. He's going to make you think that you can't be bride. He's going to make you, there's no way you can be. That's the elite, and there's no way you'll never be there. You don't have the faith. You don't have this. You don't have that. He'll make you look at your faults. Make you look at your failures. Make you look at your weaknesses. When does God ever tell you to look at that? As a husband, I don't see any weaknesses. I see the beautiful 4'9", skinny mini, long hair, brunette, with the brown eyes. I remember, my back of the red, I remember, we weren't even dating yet. I remember we were sitting there singing, "When We All Get to Heaven." That was a good old time. Singing that song, I looked way back at the back and seen my wife. And I know when I seen her, the Lord pulled me on the street. God told me, so that's going to be your wife. I wasn't even there. I wasn't even, nothing. God told me, so that's going to be your wife. I'm telling you what, God feels the same way about us. And you know what, when I look at her, I don't look at mistakes. I don't look at failures. I don't look at those things. I know who she is. And that's what God looks at in us. He knows what's in us. He knows what he put in us. And don't let the devil make you look at your weaknesses, your faults, and your failures, because God don't look at them. God sees the finished product. And I believe God wants us to feel good about who we are. I want my wife, I've said this before, I'm just going to put her on the spot. If I got to get up here, she better get up here too, right? I remember when we used to, she would always feel like she wasn't pretty. She always felt like she wasn't pretty. And I always tell her, "You're beautiful." But she'd always feel that way. Never felt like she was real pretty all the time. So I was like, you know what? I don't know what to do about it. And I got to seek in the Lord. I said, "Lord, what can I do? I want her to feel like she's pretty. I want her to feel like she's just, I want her to see herself the way I see her." And the Lord told me, he says, "You make her feel beautiful, she'll act beautiful." But I began to just really rub it in thick. I would every chance I got, I'd show her how pretty she was. Well, one day I was living over at Alma. And I'd come through, and I'd work in Planters at the time. And I'd come through, and we had a mirror on the side of the window. And I seen her. I caught her. She was standing in front of the mirror, and she was fixing her hair, and she kind of smiled. I said, "Gotcha." What was it? I made her feel beautiful because of my words. I kept speaking these things into her, and I kept showing her. I want her to see you are the most beautiful thing in the world. Well, that's what God's doing. He wants us to see how beautiful we really are. He wants to see that, you know, he don't look at our faults. He don't look at our failures. He looks at the great things in us. He don't even see the nonsense stuff on the side. God sees the seed on the inside of us. When he spoke to that woman at the well, if you was to look at her from the appearance of the world, that's a filthy woman. That's a woman that looks filthy. But God didn't look at that. God looked deeper than the skin. God looked deeper than all those things. He looked straight into the very heart of her and seen the seed inside of her. And that's what God's looking at. The message this morning is, let's let our eyes be opened. Let's let God help us see the things the way he wants us to see them. Let's let ourselves to not get caught up in the storm. Don't get caught up in the weather. But let's look to the promise. And let's hold God's feet to the fire. Let's hold his feet to the fire. See, man, I'm going to ask you, is anybody saying, you know what, I've been fighting this old devil for a while, this giant, I've been fighting it. You know what, since I can't quite get the victory on it. Anybody got to say, you know what, I want victory. God sees your hands. Anybody else? I'm telling you what, we can have the victory. Just as sure as this Bible is blue, we can have victory. You can have what you have need of. If God can do it for me, he can do it for anybody. And I ain't nothing. I'm telling you what, with God's blessing, we can have the victory. And I want to commit it to you. I want to say, you know what, I want to hold ourselves accountable. Because it's real easy. I've seen myself do this. I'll come to a service, minister, or preach and say, you know what, I want that, and then I'll forget about it. I'll let times go by, and then the next thing I know, 3 months later, I'm like, you know what? I never really did confront that thing. I want to confront it for you. Because, you know, as a minister's job, that's our job, is to cut that devil off of you. That's our job. But you've got to let him go. Whenever Brother Branham talked about that man is going to break every bone in Brother Branham's body. How many knows what I'm talking about? The man come up there, and he was going to break every bone in Brother Branham's body. Brother Branham was a boxer. A welterweight boxer. He could have said, boys, step back. But he didn't do that.
He didn't try to do it with his flesh. He did say, step back. He told the officers, step back. Let him come. And that man came up to Brother Branham and he said, you're going to, because you defied me and the angel of the Lord, he said, you're going to come over my feet. And that man fell right at his feet.
And the spirit went out of the man. Brother Branham said, that man, that spirit will come right back to him because he worships it. See, a lot of times we'll get something cast out, but we'll welcome it right back in. And see, when we cast it out, you've got to fill that house. You've got to confess that this house is full. That devil ain't coming back. You see, man, it's all scary. We want to take the devil that we've been fighting, the giant that we've been fighting, and we want to hold God's feet to the fire. You say, how am I going to hold God's feet to the fire? Remind him of his word. Let's tell God, God, I want the request. You said I can have it. I want my request. I want this devil's head. And sometimes whenever you go to do it, it's a simple faith. It's not a great dynamic faith. It's a simple faith. It's a hyssop. It's like turning the light on.
Just feel just by itself.
I want to remind you of the promises that God's done in your life. How many times have you been praying over your food? And you pray about something just simple. And don't even think about it. You just pray about something. And then a little while later, you find out. You're like, God answered that prayer. How many times has that ever happened? Out of all honesty. Many times, you didn't try to put a bolt, lightning bolt of faith out there. You were simply praying about something. You heard about something. And you just simply prayed a simple prayer. And said, God, I just want to bring that for you. And you don't think nothing else about it. You eat your food. You go on about your day. And then you find out that God answered that request exactly the way you asked it. A lot of times, that's the same way whenever it's the big things, friends. It's just as simple. A lot of times, we try too hard. We try to make faith. But it's not that way. It's simple. It's really simple. You just simply ask. If I was going to give my sister Pansy my Bible, and I was going to go to her, I'd say, sister, do you want this? She says, yeah, I want it. It's simple as me just giving it to her and me walking away. It's simply asking it and just leaving it there. And say, God, I believe that you've given it to me. I'm going to, because God's not a respecter of persons. He'll give us what we have need of. If we would just simply ask God in a simple faith, say, God, I want from the place. Help me, Lord. And God will give it to you.
Devil, whatever giant you've been fighting, you say, you know what, I've been trying to fight it, and I'm having trouble with it. If you want help this morning, you come up right now, and I'll pray with you. You can receive it right where you're at. With every head bowed.
I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Right.
Lord God, I know maybe I might have touched on some things today, Lord, that may feel touchy, Lord, real close to us, Lord. And sometimes it may feel like it's in a real sensitive area, Lord. But God, you know I have really, truly spoken my heart this morning. I believe this message. I believe the message of the hour, Lord. I believe the truths of this message. And Lord, I also believe the devil would try so hard to get us to where we just have the letter of it, but we don't have the life of it. And Lord God, we want the life of the message, Lord. We want the manifestations of this word, Lord. We've seen how the prophet would go around and face the devil, Lord, and Lord, the devil would have to back down, not because of the prophet, but because of the word. He had the word, and the devil cannot stand against that word because he was fortified behind it. Lord God, we want to fortify ourselves behind the word this morning. Lord God, I ask you to touch the congregation here right now, Lord, every knee, Lord, every hand that went up, Lord. They said, Lord, I've been fighting this devil, and Lord, I just need some help overcoming it, Lord. I ask you to be their comforter this morning. Lord, I ask you to give them the fresh manna from heaven this morning, oh God, that they can eat, and give them the nourishment they have need of, oh God. Lord God, I ask you, Father, to search their hearts today, Lord. If there be anything that would hinder faith, Lord, from moving, oh God, I ask you to open them up. Lord, cut it away, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I ask you, Father, to walk the aisles even right now and knock on every heart afresh, Lord. Give them a refilling of your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Lord, I know in myself, there's been times I feel like the devils or the giants are just all around me. They're ready to crush me at any moment, Lord. And then many times I've seen I haven't even sought the Lord, and I've been struggling. I've been fretting. And I've been looking so much at my worries and my concerns that I haven't been looking at the Lord. And Lord, I turn away and I look at you, and they just all melt away, oh God. Lord God, help us, Lord Jesus, to open our eyes this morning. Help us to be able to see you in the position that you truly hold, God. Lord, not looking at the storm, but looking at you, Father. God, I ask you, Father, the storms that may try to come against their lives, Lord, I commit them to you, Lord. Father, I know many of them, Lord, they're fighting battles, Lord. I commit them to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, I ask you to give them the restoration of the joy of their salvation, Lord. Lord God, I ask you to bring the word alive again in their lives, oh Father. Lord God, bring their Bible studies alive again, Lord Jesus. Their worship at home alive again, Father. Their prayer meetings at home alive again, Father. Help me in my home, Lord. Lord God, I ask you, Father, to help us. We have all the ingredients that we need to have the revival that we are called to, Father. Lord, have taken the position of a bride, Lord. Lord Jesus, I ask you, Father, to help us to have the dynamics to go with the mechanics, Lord. Lord Jesus, bring that spirit, Lord. Quicken our hearts again this morning afresh, Lord. Lord, touch our loved ones, oh God. Give us a love on the inside, oh God. Lord, a love for one another, Lord. A love for the Word, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I ask you that you'll touch them in such a way that people around them will say there's something different about them. There's such a sweetness. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Lord, you know we fight this old flesh man, Lord. He's our worst giant that we fight many times. Lord God, I ask you for total victory this morning. In Jesus' holy name, Father. Thank you, Father.
To see you, I want to see you. Lift it up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your
preached at Assembly of God here just a couple of weeks ago, and you know, there's a lot of shouting, a lot of you know, good comments come from that. Nothing like preaching to believers. Amen. Had several people come, you know, for prayer, and people wanted to said, you know, I want to start with God like that, that does those things. And pastor talked to me afterwards, and he said, you know, he said, brother, he said, I could sure use you. He said, but we're going to have to work on some of that doctrine. He said, I can get you in school. And he said, you want to be a part of our Assembly of God? He said, if you can do that, brother, he said, I'll get you. He said, I can get you in a church. And he said, that's a brother. I can't do that. He said, I have what I have because I don't have it. I didn't do that. You know, as a minister, it can be a temptation because it's open doors. But you know what? I'd rather stay with this. You guys are the only precious flock I ever get to preach to. I want to be just as faithful to you as I possibly can. If y'all are 500. Because you know what? We're going to make it. Sometimes the devil may think that you're by yourself, may think you're all alone. I want you to know, me personally, a lot of times I'm praying for you, have no idea about it. But I'm sure you guys do the same for me. I just want you to remember, you know, the devil may try to back you up against a fence. Sometimes he'll make you feel like, you know, it's all over. The price is already paid. Amen. Let us sing this one more time. Let's close it.